Man.
Brother Lester?
All right.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
I'm gonna use this microphone, just so everybody can hear. Normally, folks don't have any problem hearing me, but just wanna make sure everything. Good to see you. Appreciate you being here tonight. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming.
I hope you've recovered from the election, or maybe you're still celebrating. I don't know. We have a lot of things to be thankful for, and some things didn't go the way that all of us wanted to. I'm sure they didn't for me. That's the American way. So we thank God for watching over everything for us, and I'm glad He's in control.
Amen. Amen.
That's all I got to say. I'm just glad He's in control. I'd like for you to start out tonight, if you would, in Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus chapter number 17, and don't know exactly where I'm going. I've got a number of sermons that start there and go other places, so we'll probably read Exodus 17, about 8 verses, beginning in verse number 8, and use that kind of a springboard. And then I want to go to Psalms chapter 9. And we've got, several sermons in Psalms chapter 9. And I'm going to try to be very sensitive to your time. I know some of you have worked today. Others have done other things and everything, so I'm not going to try to preach everything I got. Maybe at some other point we'll get some of the rest of it. I don't know. But if you're at Exodus 17, if you don't mind, stand for the reading of 3 or 4 verses. We'll have a prayer, and I'll let you sit down. The Bible said in Exodus chapter 17, verse number 8, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us out then and go fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this crowd tonight. I thank you, dear Lord, for the effort that's been put forth. And some folks, not having the best of days, and they're still here. Thank you for that. I pray you be with the preacher. God, I pray you'll help him and watch over him and bless him. I pray, Lord, that you'll meet the needs that have been shared in the prayer time and others that may be just unspoken. But Holy Ghost of God, we need you to come and work in this place. We need God for you to help us tonight. Lord, we'll thank you for that. Save anybody that might listen to this sermon that's lost. I pray, Lord, that you be with the backslid. Draw them back. God, have your will in your way. And Lord, I'll be so careful. I'll take my hands off of it. Give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. For make our prayer in Jesus' name. I know he's worthy. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read on down 4 or 5 more verses. Bible said, verse number 11, "It came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses' hands were heavy, and he took a stone and put it up, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat therein. Thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." You say, what in the world is wrong with Moses? Well, probably the biggest thing wrong with him is all the birthdays he's had. Amen. I had a doctor tell me that last time I was in the hospital. When I got out and went by to see him, I said, "Doc, what causes this?" And he just smiled and said, "Birthdays." That's what's wrong with Moses, okay? The Bible said in verse number 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and the people with the edge of the sword. The Lord said to Moses, write this for memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And by the way, God did that. You can't find the nation of Amalek anywhere anymore. Okay? In verse number 15, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And, you know, you've been in church, you've been saved, I'm sure you've heard the story. And as long as Moses' hands were in the air, they were victorious. When Moses' hands went down, they were not victorious. And God gave me this idea for a number of sermons under kind of a canopy of this. And I'm not going to go into a lot of the things I have about this first sermon. But the title of this whole series is, Since God Commanded Us to Fight. And you're commanded to fight, okay? And should you have any questions, look at 1 Timothy 6:12, 2 Timothy 4:7, look in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 32, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 26. We're commanded to fight the good fight of faith. Now, we're not commanded to fight one another, okay? We're commanded to fight the devil and Satan and sin and all of that. So we're commanded to fight. And since we're commanded to fight, let's do it with our hands up. And there's a whole sermon about that, okay? But it's not in surrender. Amen? One of the things that having our hands up is in praise to God. And you've seen folks, you know, and maybe you've done it, hallelujah, if you have, you know, you praise the Lord, okay? That's one way you do it. So since God commanded us to fight, let's do it with our hands up. And I want to look tonight just on the idea of the praise that it gives to God. Okay, a lot of the Psalms deal with praise. And turn over with me, if you would, to Psalms chapter 9. It's 20 verses long and everything. But we'll read part of it. I don't know that we'll get all the way through it tonight, but we'll get started on it anyway. Let's read 10 or 12 verses out of Psalms chapter 9. David said, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. And I read after some guys, and one guy said, if you don't praise God with your whole heart, then it's not praise. I disagree with that. God will accept any kind of praise you give him. Amen. Now, he would like it to be wholehearted praise. Okay? David went on to say, I'll show forth all thy marvelous works. I'll be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies have turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained thy right, my cause, and sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put their name put out her name forever and ever. Did he do that with Amalek? He did it with Amalek. Okay. Verse 6. So thy enemy, destructions are come to perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. The memorial is perished with them, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord will give a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in the time of trouble. And they shall know that thy name will be put, and they that know thy name shall put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, has not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. So we'll stop there. We may read another few verses before the evening's over. But since God commanded us to fight, let's do it with our hands up. Let's do it, praising God for how good He's been to us. Amen. And, you know, I appreciated something about Daniel Cameron. And again, I'm not going to get political with you, but he said something in his speech last night that he just wanted everybody to know that God was still on the throne. Yeah. I thought, hallelujah. How long has it been since we heard a politician say something like that? Okay. But he was praising God. Okay. And for a politician to do that, I think we need to pay attention to that. Amen. And he did. Okay. So since God commanded us to fight, let's do it with our hands. Let's do it praising the Lord. Did you notice verse number 1 in chapter number 9? David said, I'll praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Regardless of what's going on, let's just praise the Lord. You say, Brother Lester, you don't understand. I had a flat tire today. Praise the Lord, all four of them went flat. Amen. I got a fellow here not long ago that threatened to slash my tires. And I get up every morning and I look and everything, and they still got air in them. Praise the Lord, my tires got air in them. Amen. Because he's a nut. He may do something like that. Okay. But we need to praise the Lord. And I'm going to give you four or five things that I believe will help you in praising the Lord. Now, you know, I'm not talking about wildfire. I'm not talking about hooping and hollering and running the pews and things like that. But let me tell you something. If the only fire you got's wildfire, then praise the Lord. Amen? Okay? I mean, you know, if you don't have it all down to exactly what you want it to be, just go ahead and praise the Lord anyway. Amen. I look at my kids and I look at my grandkids, and I guess since I've been here last, I got a great grandkid. Okay, I'm getting old, all right. But I praise God for them. I get to watch some of the boys play football now. They go out and, you know, and that kind of, praise the Lord, I enjoy that, okay? And, you know, I got three grandkids going to be graduating high school in the next 3 years. One of our little granddaughters graduates this year, and I got two grandboys that are going to graduate in the next 2 years. So I guess I'm going to have to buy a bunch of graduation presents, what it sounds like. But I praise God for what He does in our life. Do you thank God for what He's done for you? Amen. Amen. Do you thank God for like the song says, the food on your table and the shoes on your feet? Okay. Do you thank God for the roof up above you and you've got good things to eat? Amen. You may not have everything that you want, but you have everything you need. And we just need to praise God. Why should we praise God? We should praise God every time when we realize God's working. Look at verse number 1. I praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Does God work in your life? God works in my life. God answer prayer for you? He does for me. Amen. And I just praise Him for it. Amen. All right. Look at verse number, I'm going to say 3, but really it starts in verse number 2 and goes through verse number 6. But let's just read verse number 3. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. Look at verse number 4. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 7. But the Lord shall endure forever. Aren't you glad that God don't quit on us? Amen. Aren't you glad that He's always going to be on the throne? Aren't you glad that He's always going to be doing things for us? I am, okay? Not only verse number 7, look at verse number 8. And He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. We need to praise the Lord when we see and realize his working. You don't have to look very far to see that. Amen. I'm guessing everybody in the auditorium tonight is an American. Okay? Most of us were born American. There may be somebody in here that you're naturalized. Okay? But I thank God I'm an American. I've traveled out of this country enough. And I realize I don't want to live there. Okay? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to live in Florida. Now, you may love Florida. I'm not picking on you. But it's too hot and too sandy down there for me. Okay? But I thank God that I live in Kentucky. We have four seasons. Nothing severe. You know, God's been good to us up here. God protects us and all of that. And I'm just going to praise him for that. Amen. And we need to fight the good fight of faith. We need to do it with our hands up, praising God, bragging on what God has done for us. You say, preacher, I've got problems. We all got problems. You have problems, Eric? You ever have problems? Huh? Do you? Okay. Well, I just want to check. Okay. We've all got problems, folks. Yours are different than mine. You may have health problems, and I have health problems. You may have family problems. You may have money problems. You may have, and I could go through a whole gamut of that, okay? We've all got problems. But in the midst of the problems, we need to fight the good fight of faith with our hands up.
Amen.
Amen. We just need to praise God every time and any time we realize what he's doing for us. And I hope you do. Do you ever get in a situation somebody says, what's going on in your life, and you can actually brag on Jesus? Amen. We travel enough miles in 40 some odd weeks a year that I praise God for a good vehicle. I praise God for keeping his hand upon that vehicle. Amen. And all of that. Praise should always follow God's working. And I believe if you'll look day after day after day, you'll see God working in your life. Amen. So, since God's commanding us to fight the good fight of faith, let's do it with our hands up. Let's do it, because praise should always follow God's working. Second of all, verse number 1, I'm going to read it again just to emphasize. I'll praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth thy marvelous works. I'm going to make a statement. I want you to listen to it. I'm going to make it twice. To be silent over God's mercies is to incur the guilt of ingratitude. Let me say that again. To be silent over God's mercies is to incur the guilt of ingratitude. I don't know about you, but when I do something for somebody, I like for them to say thank you. Do you? I mean, I do. You say it's a pride thing. Well, okay. That'll give you something to pray for me for, okay? But, you know, and we do it all the time. We take food to 150, 250 people a week, all right? And I'll be honest with you, some people act like you owe it to them.
Yeah.
I got news for you. I don't owe anybody anything except Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. But you know who the most grateful people we take food to are, by and large? I work with a rehab. And we take food over there, a lot of times 4, 5, 6 banana boxes full of food. And invariably, across that whole crowd, they're thankful. Boy, I appreciate you bringing this. Thank you very much. We really appreciate this. Now, I guess they're told to do that. I don't know. It's amazing to find that many thankful people in one place.
Mm-hmm.
But a number of times, every time I go over there, they thank me for it. And I think, all right, you know? And I give out tracts. When I get there, I reach into my pocket and I get a pack of tracts.
And I walk around each one of them and say, hey, let me give you this. Tell you how to go to heaven and miss hell. And I try to get every one of them. Don't always get all up. Sometimes some of them run off, okay? But I try to, all right? And I do that before I give them any food. Why? Well, that's the reason I'm there, folks. I mean, I don't want anybody to starve to death. Don't want anybody hungry, okay, and everything. But I do it because I get to give the gospel out. And every now and then I'll get to talk to one of them a little while about Jesus and find out if they're saved or not and that kind of thing, all right? But, you know, most grateful people we take food to on a regular basis are people in a rehab. You say, Brother Lester, do you not think they'd have food if you didn't show up? Sure they would. Okay? They have to feed them. Okay? I mean, they've got them hemmed up. Okay, some of them are there by court order. Maybe a lot of them. I don't know. I don't ask them. Okay, all right. But they have to feed them. But I think a lot of times some of the things we bring, I mean, when I take catfish over there, man, they like that. Okay.
Me too.
And when I take candy over there, they love candy. I don't know what it is about candy. I keep a little pack of candy in the back of my Jeep, and I do that because of my diabetes. And if my sugar really drops a lot, I'll eat, you know, a few pieces of candy and get it back up in a hurry. And you're probably going to think I'm mean about this, but probably a dozen times somebody would say, man, there's a bag of candy! and it's in a plastic bag, and it's a clear plastic bag and everything. And I ignore them. Why? Well, I don't have enough to give it to everybody, okay? I don't have a big quantity of it. But even when I don't give them candy, they're thankful. Why are they thankful? Well, because they want me to know that they're broke. They want me to come back. Amen. And when we don't praise God for what He's done for us, it shows ingratitude in our hearts. Amen. The third thing I want to talk to you about praise the Lord. And by the way, since God commanded us to fight, let's do it with our hands up. Let's do it, praising God. Why? Well, because praise should always follow God's working. Second of all, we don't want to be ungrateful. Third of all, because He promises protection. Amen? So, well, I don't know about that. Let me just give you a few verses, okay? Verse 3, when mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. It just happened. We just read about it. Okay? Amalek is wiped off the face of the earth. The only thing we know about Amalek is what's in the Word of God and the history books. Amen? Let's read on. Look at verse number 9. The Bible said the Lord will also be a refuge for the oppressed and a refuge in the time of trouble. Now, I was not in the service. I was not in a foxhole. I was not shot at. And by the way, if you were, thank God for you. That's why America is what America is right now. The blessing of God and the sacrifices of our soldiers.
Amen. Okay.
But man, I'm grateful. I really am. I'm grateful that we got a refuge. A place we can run. It's just like a little kid. I don't know why. I think it's a maternal bond. But when a kid gets hurt, who do they go to? Who do they go to, sister? They go to mom and help them. Huh? Yeah. I mean, dad's right there. They'll run around him. I know. I've watched it with my kids. Okay? And my grandkids, you know. I've got one that, well, let's see, she's in first grade, so I guess she's 6, maybe 7, something like that. But I watch, if she falls down and skips her knee on the concrete driveway, she don't run to Grandpa. Oh! Now, if Grandpa's got candy bars, she'll
you know, accept some candy bars from Grandma. When she falls down and skins her knee, she runs to Mom. Okay? Why? Mom protects her. Okay? Or her, whichever one it is. Okay? He protects us. Look at verse number 10. And they know thy name will put their, and they that know their, your, again, let me start over. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. I've seen mamas in situations that their kids really messed up. I mean, not a little bit, a whole lot. That mama don't give up on me. Amen. I'm glad my mama never gave up on me. Amen. All right. Look on down at verse number 12, if you would. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. If you didn't have any other scripture in the Word of God that showed that God was against abortion, right there she went. But I mean, there's hundreds of them. Okay? I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of doctors, there's going to be a lot of legislatures, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have to stand before God with this thing about abortions. Mm-hmm. Okay? And they're horrible. I've seen some films and stuff, and it's horrible. I mean, they tear them limb from limb, or they put them in a salt solution that absolutely just eats them alive. Okay? And time after time after time after time, I'm thinking somebody's going to answer for that. Okay? God said, I will always, okay, make inquisition for blood. Alright? And verse number, and by the way, God's going to hold everybody responsible that caused that war in Israel.
Yep.
Okay? And God's going to hold Russia, and I say Russia, and it's Russia in general, responsible for everybody that's killed in Ukraine.
Yep.
And he's continuing to be killed. You know, we talk about Israel, and God knows we need to pray for Israel, okay? Israel is God's national indicator. But we still need to pray for Ukraine. How long has it been since you've seen something on the news about Ukraine?
Not much.
See, ever since this thing started in Israel. Just about.
Not much.
Now, I haven't seen one, I don't think. Okay? But God is going to hold Russia. God is going to hold that ungodly dictator and everybody that's responsible in Russia for Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Why? Because God didn't like the shedding of blood. Okay? In fact, the Bible said these six things that the Lord hate, and one of them is they that shed innocent blood. You say, well, how about Israel bombing over there? I know they've got to protect their country. But I wish they'd just go down in those tunnels and get all those yahoos out of those tunnels. You know why they're not? I think why they're not? Because I think all the hostages are also down there in those tunnels.
Yep.
And they don't want to jeopardize their life. Now, I'm not a soldier. I don't know a whole lot about it. Okay? But I'd like to see them hold off until the innocent people are out of there. Okay? And then just blow them off the face of the earth. Okay? Say, preacher, you're mean. Hey, listen, God protects us. God watches after us. All right? And everything. So since God commanded us to fight the good fight of faith, let's do it with our hands up. Let's do it praising God every time we see him work. You say it's coincidence. I don't think there's a single coincidence in a Christian's life. God allows what goes on in our life. We need to praise him because of his work. We need to praise him so we're not ungrateful. We need to praise him because he promises. He promises protection. God will take care of you. Okay? And then we need to fight the good fight of faith with our hands up because faith, because praise shows our faith. You trust God? I mean, really, do you trust God? When I don't understand what's going on, and stuff every day I don't understand what goes on, but I'm going to trust him. Amen. And praise shows our faith. Now, I said a minute ago, no such thing as coincidence in a Christian's life, okay? I'm going to read verse number one again. I know I've already read it three or four times. David said, I praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. David was saying, God takes care. I believe him. I trust him. I put my life in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole. He does. Amen. Praise shows our faith. But not just verse number one. Look down with me, if you would, in verse 14. He said that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. Okay? I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to do it with my hands up because I thank God for saving me. Amen. I thank God that he reached down 47 years ago. I was lowering a snake's belly in a wagon truck, and God saved me. You say, how do you know? Because the word of God says he did it. Amen. Because I know in my heart things have changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 has come to play in my life. And I'm going to fight the good fight of faith because of my faith. I trust him. No matter what happens, I trust him. Amen. And I'm just like you. I don't like God chastising me. And you know, when I get a little out of line, he does that. He does it for you. He does it for all of us. Why? Well, because we're his children. You ever chastise your children? Well, I hope you do. Okay? I'm not talking about child abuse. I think that's one of the most horrific things that's on the face of the earth. But I do believe in discipline. Amen. And I believe in correction. When I told my kids no, I raised my voice just a little bit and said, no! It stopped. Okay? Why? They didn't want step number two. They did not want the Board of Education applied to the seat of their understanding. They didn't want that. Okay? And I'm that way with God. I trust God. And when God says no, hey, listen, I may not like it. Has God ever told you no to a prayer request? Or you haven't prayed much if he hadn't. Okay? I mean, I pray and it doesn't happen. Okay? But I'm going to trust him. Since God commanded us to fight, let's do it with our hands up. Because it shows our faith. Because he promises, not a hope so, not a wish. He promises protection. I don't want to be ungrateful. And we should always do it when we realize what God has done. Let me give you another one. Praise shows others his working and majesty. I piddle around with woodworking a little bit, okay? And you know, I'm no builder like Todd's a builder. He's a master. He really is. I've worked with him over and over and over and over and over. Okay? All right? But I like to piddle around with it. And when I get my little box built, okay, I stand back and I kind of look at it, you know. Here in the last few years, I've been doing a lot of work with recycled barn wood. Boy, you make some beautiful things out of that, okay? And then I stand back and I look at it. Why? Well, because I want to see what work has accomplished. Look at verse number 11, if you would with me. The Bible says, sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion, declare among the people his doings. No, God did that. Folks, you can explain away anything they want to explain away. But in my life, it's because God either did it or God allowed it. Okay? Now, God cannot sin. Look in Titus chapter 2. The Bible tells us that. All right? But we need to realize that he's working in our lives. Those are the benefits of praise to you for praising. Okay? And I'm going to start in this next section, and I won't get through it. And I'm sorry, I may give them to you just in rapid fire. Okay? But he not only benefits you by your praise, he benefits others. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalms 34. We're going to look at several scriptures there and another great praise chapter in the Word of God and everything. But in Psalms chapter number 34, verse number 2, the Bible said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. You like bragging? Huh? You like bragging? Yeah. Every now and then I'll mow the grass, okay? My wife will say, boy, the yard looks good. And I want to put my thumbs behind my galoshes and say, yeah, I did that. Okay? Really, I mean, I am the guy that mows the grass. Okay? I mean, I may ride on a ride lawnmower, I understand that. But I took my time, I put gas in it, I rode around on it and everything. Okay? But Psalms 34, 2, the Bible said, my soul shall make her boast, brag, whatever you want to put in there. The word in the authorized is boast. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Boy, God's been good to me. Amen. And you know, Jesus had nothing. The Bible said the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. He didn't even have a pillow. And then we complain because ours is not the super duper contoured pillow that breathes and everything else for us, okay? Jesus didn't have one. Okay? But when we brag on what the Lord has done for us, it helps other people. And it helps other people, first of all, okay? As verse number 2 said, because people hear it and they're glad. Do you like it when God does something for somebody else? Amen? Amen. I'll pick on Larry. Everybody else does. I might as well too. Okay. I don't know how many times I prayed for you, Larry. I don't know how many times I stood at those back double doors and prayed with your wife that God would save you. Amen. And it wasn't because I prayed. It was because God moved. Okay. All right. But when I heard that Larry got saved, look at the Lord and God. Amen. Somebody had to hold my mule. Okay. And what did that do? That made me glad. Oh, that little wife didn't have to labor under the stress of Larry not being saved. And many of you in here have been through that. Okay? But do you like it when one of your grandkids get saved? Okay? I baptize a lot of my kids. Okay? I'd like to baptize all my grandkids. Okay? Why? Because it just gives me the opportunity
and the chance to praise Him, and it makes other people glad. Amen. Hey, we've got enough sorrow in this world. We got enough trouble. We got enough things that go wrong. So, since God commanded us to fight, let's do it with our hands up. Why? Because it'll make other people glad. Amen. When somebody in church, child, gets saved, does that do something for you? Hey, you know, there's just something about going to a wedding, you know? And the festivity of it and all of that. And they open the double doors and the bride walks through and everything. And my wife will grab my hand or hug my neck or something almost every time. Why? Well, it takes her back decades, okay, when we did that. All right? And everything. And since God commanded us to fight, I'm going to do it with my hands up. Why? Well, because it makes other people glad. Look at verse number 3, same place, Psalms 34. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, okay? David's saying, join in with me, okay? And let us exalt His name together. It lifts up the God of the Bible. And He's going to be God, whether you praise His name or not, okay? But I think we need to lift Him up. Okay, and man is just a man, and sometimes we do good, and sometimes we don't. Okay, but when we praise the Lord, it magnifies, it lifts Him up, it glorifies. Can you imagine what it was like in Luke chapter 2? When the whole assembly of the angels said, glory to God in the high, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward me. Man, I'd like to have been there, but I can go back there in Luke chapter 2 and I can read about it, okay? I don't know if the sky lit up. I don't know if they actually saw the angels or not, but they were glorifying, they were magnifying God. And when you praise the Lord, it magnifies God. Amen. It does that for other people. Okay? Not only does it make them glad, they see the majesty of God. Oh, hey, let me tell you something. I've got a personal God. He listens to me. He helps me. He blesses me. He works in my life. Okay? And I want to magnify His name for that. Okay? He's so very good. I had a group yesterday. Monday. Sunday, sang a song that I just love. The Rochester sang the song. It's called "It's Been a Long Journey, but I Have Been Blessed. Walking with Jesus, I have no regrets." He's been so good to me, I must confess. The way He's been long, honey, I've already outlived my expectation of 70. I'm living on blessed time now. Okay? And I will till I die. Okay? But boy, God's been good to me. Mighty, mighty good to me. And I want to magnify His name. Amen. When you praise the Lord, it helps other people see that. It helps them magnify the Lord. Okay. Not only that, look down in verse number 6, chapter 34. The Bible said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." God ever do anything for you, and you just can't figure out how it happened or what happened, and you didn't have a solution for the problem? You know, a lot of times when I'm working on a vehicle, you can't work on vehicles anymore. I found that out. Okay. You got to have a computer. You got to go to school. You got to know what all the gadgets and gadgets are and have all these special tools and everything. All right. And that's just the way it is anymore. All right. But every now and then I can do something on a vehicle. I can change oil. I can still do that. All right? And it's not as simple as it used to be. You know, you remember in the old times that the oil filter was on the bottom of the engine?
Yeah.
Huh? I mean, most of them like that, still like that. Oh, this new stinking Jeep I got, it's not new, it's 8 years old. The oil filter's on the top of the engine. And I thought, well, now that is stupid, Eric. I mean, I'm going to take that dumb thing off and oil's going to go everywhere. And so I did what all good mechanics do. I went to YouTube. And I said, how do I change the oil filter? And I gave them all the information and everything. And they said, just unscrew it. And I thought, I know, that's too simple. I'm going to sit right on top of the engine. So I looked at another YouTube. And Jeff, you know what it said? Just unscrew it. Now, well, I'm not the dumbest guy in the world, but maybe I'm second. So I'm just going to unscrew the dumb thing. And I found me a wrench, I don't know, 15, 16 or something like that, and I turned it just, you know how it is first time you do something? And you don't think it's going to work. I didn't think it's going to work. I really didn't. I turned it a little bit. It wasn't oil. I thought, So I turned it a little bit. Oh. No oil. And so I turned it a whole round. No oil. So I got real brave. And I unscrewed the oil filter. And you know what those brilliant engineers did? Where that oil filter screws into, there's a hole that drains into the oil pan. And all the oil drained down into the oil pan. Okay? But, you know, I was so proud of myself when I changed the oil. I thought, man, I am somebody now. I can change my own oil. All right? And that used to, that wasn't a big deal. I mean, we'd roll under the car, we jerk the oil filter off, we take the plug out, and everything. Well, nothing to it. But boy, I tell you what, anymore, it is. Well, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me. Okay? Our praise is an indication of our dependence upon him. I'll tell you something. Next time my oil needs changing, I'm just going to unscrew the oil filter. Why? It worked the last time. Okay. There's a lot of things in our life when we're faced with them, we just need to trust him and do what the directions say to do. Amen. Thank God for that book. My life resides in the instruction of this book. And when it comes to the Word of God, I don't go to YouTube a whole lot. Every now and then, if it's something that's got to do with some kind of custom or something like that, I'll look something up. Let me tell you what, this book explains itself.
Amen.
And since we're commanded to fight, let's do it with our hands up. Let's do it with our hands up. Let's praise God, okay? So other people can see it and be glad, okay? We can take comfort in it. We can magnify the Lord, okay? And this poor man, okay, cried, and the Lord heard me. Amen.
Amen.
He heard me. I'm nobody. I'm a zero with the ring knocked off. I understand that. God heard me. Amen. Let me give you one more and we'll go home. Look down with me into Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. And maybe you already have that verse memorized. I don't know, it's a great, great verse to memorize. Let me get to Colossians, okay? And I'll eventually get there. I've got too much stuff in my Bible.
don't like that argument. You don't have those bookmarks and all that kind of stuff. But in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Our praise to Him helps other people because it lifts them up. When that group got done singing that song Sunday morning, I asked them, I said, I want to ask you something. Would you sing that song at my funeral? So, oh, preacher, that's morbid. Hey, look, I'm going to have it all lined up. The burial's paid for. The mortician's already been paid. We're getting all of our ducks in a row, okay? And by the way, if you do it early, it'll cost you less. Okay? All right? And everything. But I've got 4 or 5 groups going to sing at my funeral. Why? I just like to praise the Lord. I'd like them to be uplifted. I'll tell you another song that I'm going to have sung at my song. It's called, some morning you'll find me touring that city where the Son of God is alive. You'll find me there on the street so pretty, made of gold, so pure and so... What? I'm going to be there, honey. Okay? I'm going to be walking those streets of gold. I'm going to see the one that died for me. Okay? I'm going to be praising Him throughout all of eternity. And until I get there, I'm just going to fight with my hands up, because it will speak to other people in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You got a favorite song? Probably everybody in here has got a favorite song. If I was to ask you, you'd probably be surprised. Okay? I like good music. Okay? And I have the privilege every year of having some of the best Southern gospel singers in America sing in the services I'm in. I've been to Jeff and Sherry Easter. I've been with the Gaithers. I've been with part of the cathedrals. You know, they've kind of broke up now and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? I just love it. And depending on where I am, Thanksgiving, I'm in Thanksgiving. On New Year's Eve, I may hear 4 or 5 big Southern gospel groups sing. Why? Well, because I have a standing invitation in a place that they have 3 or 4 big time Southern gospel. I just love good music that praises the Lord. It speaks to me in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. So you see, this thing of praising the Lord not only does stuff for you, it does stuff for those that are around you. Write 3 more scriptures down and I'll close. Write down Psalms 138:5. And write down Revelation 5:11-12. I'm not going to go there and everything. But folks, since we're commanded to fight, it's a command. It's not multiple choice. It's not if you want to or don't want to. It's a command to fight the good fight of faith. Let's do it. Put our hands up. For everything it does for us, and everything it does for other people. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand for just a moment if you're able.